Om Agnatiminandasya Dina Dina Salakaya Taksu Samilatan Dena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Mansa Kalpa Turbascha Kripasindu Vayibhisa Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Yesterday we began hearing the 12th chapter of the 10th canto. And in this chapter, Krishna desires to have a picnic. And he blew his bugle made of horn. And the sound of his bugle entered into each of the cowherd boys' hearts and said, "Please come out, wake up, wake up, wake up." But of course there was no question of waking them up because they were already awake, thinking about the time when they would soon see Krishna. The boys came out, the calves came out, and they proceeded to the forest of Vrindavan. So many hundreds and thousands of boys, so many hundreds and thousands of calves. Now, how many calves were there? Who remembers the Sanskrit word? Asankhya, which can mean either uncountable or one followed by 17 or so zeros, which is a lot of calves. So the boys were so beautiful. Krishna was so beautiful, and the boys were so beautiful. They had with them their lunch bags, their horn bugles, their flutes and sticks that were used for controlling the calves. What a scene it was. What a joyous scene it was. What a joyous scene it is, because the Vrindavan energy is so powerful. Revert to the old-fashioned way of looking at books. Either that or everyone take out their mobile phones and get the... So the boys got to the Vrindavan forest with Krishna and the calves, and everyone was so playful. And this is what it's like when there's a herd of calves and a herd of boys. Basically, it's just one playful activity after the next. Although the boys were already decorated by their mothers, this is the fourth verse, with ornaments of kacha. I think kacha is a gem, but I think it's something like a crystal. I've seen it translated as a crystal. And gunja, what color are gunja? Reddish with black, and sometimes there are white ones. Pearls and gold. So their mothers decorated them in this wonderful way. They looked very ornate decorations. But when they were in the forest, they chose to decorate themselves with the flowers and ornaments of the forest, such as green leaves, bunches of buds from trees, flowers, bunches of flowers, and peacock feathers, and the minerals, the soft, colorful minerals. There's on the other side of Sri Giriraj Govardhan. There is one Giriraj Shila called the Astasakhi Shila, and you take it and you put a little water on it, and then you rub it a little bit. And then different colors come out, and you can decorate with those colors the deity. So Giriraj provides minerals. So the cowherd boys, of course, they would also decorate themselves, but their primary reason for collecting all these items, such as the feathers and the flowers and the leaves, was to decorate their beloved Krishna. So as they would go into the forest, after some time, the boys would collect all the feathers. They would collect the flowers. Perhaps they had different bags or they put it in their cloth. And then at different times, as we will hear, they decorated Krishna with them, which caused a problem because there was so many countless Asankhya boys practically, and there was Krishna, and each of them wanted to decorate Krishna in their own way. And each of them, as everyone knows about pujaris, when they see the way someone else has decorated the deities, and they'll think, oh, I can do it better. They've done this and this and this. I can do it a little bit better. So, or a lot better. So each of the boys seeing Krishna decorated by other boys would think, that's all right, but let me decorate Krishna. So they would take a little water and take some soft twig or something like that, and just had, pujaris always have to, when they're putting their hand to the deity, they have to go like this so that they can get steady the brush or something. They just paint Krishna very delicately with a little of that color and a little of that color, and put different peacock feathers in his hair and different leaves and flowers. And Krishna, out of his unlimited potencies, what he would do to allow the unlimited boys who each thought they knew how to decorate Krishna the best. So Krishna expanded himself into unlimited Krishnas, so the unlimited boys could offer their devotion to him in such an unlimited way. And all the time that these things are going on, there's the boys are playing their flutes, the boys are playing their bugles, there's the sound of the parrots, the sounds of the peacocks and the quail, the cuckoo birds, and all the different birds are making their different sounds, and the breezes are blowing, carrying the fragrance of the lotus flowers that are growing in the clear ponds. And Vrindavan is the perfect setting for all these different pastimes. And again, the different animals and the birds and the bees are humming. And we'll hear that when the bees start humming, Krishna starts singing using the exact note that the bees are humming on. And then he begins to sing in the most sweet way with his beautiful, sweet voice. So the forest is filled, the Vrindavan forest is filled with the sweetness of the pastimes of Krishna. So although these boys were already decorated by their mothers, when they went to the forest, they further decorated themselves with fruits, green leaves, bunches of flowers, peacock feathers, and soft minerals. And then everyone is decorated, the scene is perfect, and boys, even eternal boys, are always boys, and they want to play. So Krishna and his cowherd boys begin to play. So this is described in the next 8 verses. Whoops, but that's not one of them. That's the one right after. So the Bhagavatam describes the type of playing they did. So on one level, the playing and the activities in this world seem quite similar to the playing and activities in the spiritual realm. Well, that's quite natural. Why is it natural? Because the reflection in the mirror obviously is going to be like the item that's reflected. This is described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that the material realm is a reflection of the spiritual. So if someone is, again, trained in the materially scientific point of view, and they'll say that, well, this is anthropomorphism. What does anthropomorphism mean? It means that you're taking your concept and projecting that concept, whatever you see in this world, and making it as if there's a more perfect version of that. But it starts with your consciousness. But then we ask, well, where does the playing come from in this world? Where does the concept of beauty come from this in this world? Where do so many of the wonderful things of this world, where do they come from? Where does the beauty of a peacock come from? There's nothing to do with Darwinian natural selection or anything like that, that survival of the fittest, and therefore the peacocks have to have beautiful feathers, and Krishna dances and likes to decorate himself. And these things have no reason to exist, practically speaking, other than they exist because they are the reflection of something from a higher realm. They don't have any inherent natural position to exist. There's no reason why things are the way they are. So although the scientists, scientific mind will think, well, this is just some kind of imagination, the scientific mind doesn't examine itself in that way. Because if it does, they just get more questions than answers, practically speaking. So, as we heard Prabhupada say yesterday, in one of his purports, that yes, you can actually perceive the reality of the spiritual world. Here in Vrindavan, it is so wonderful. We may not be able to perceive the pastimes, the direct pastimes of Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and the cowherd boys, or Yashoda, Maya and Krishna. But we can perceive that there is something in this atmosphere just a little bit beyond the surface. Or if we held up to this lamp, yes, we have our lamp and we may not be able to perceive everything that's behind the lamp when there's a cloth covering it. Whoops. Can you perceive now? Is it visible with backlighting or not? Oh, you can. But I can't see you, but I know you're out there. Yeah, there I am. There you are, I mean. So in Vrindavan, we know there is something beyond this curtain. It's thickly perceptible. But how to see even more deeply, that is what Prabhupada explained. That one, just like we see we hear that there are different microbes or atomic particles. But to actually see the atomic particles, we have to adopt a different methodology. You have to look through the electronic microscope. So similarly, we need a different type of vision to perceive past the curtain here in Vrindavan, or anywhere for that matter. And that vision is bhakti. That vision is bhakti. And the more we perceive bhakti, we see with the vision of bhakti, with the consciousness, because we don't exactly see with our eyes anyway. We want to perceive everything with our eyes, but actually we don't perceive anything with our eyes. It's our concepts that are in our mind that cause our perception. Because otherwise with our eyes, there's just thousands and thousands of different stimulations that hit the retina and the nerves behind the eye. And then it's the mind that interprets them as good or bad, as red or yellow, as beautiful, as ugly. It's the mind that does the interpreting anyway. And that basically means the consciousness does the interpreting. So it's the same thing. We see through the lens of our consciousness. One person looks at the world and he looks at butterfly wings and he thinks this is the most fascinating, wonderful thing in the world, and he collects butterflies. Another person, as Prabhupada called a butterfly, is a worm with wings. It's not very special at all. But one person sees them as the most wonderful thing. Another person is just fascinated by different kinds of birds, or a termite, a white ant is fascinated by wood. And they can you put a fresh piece of wood in the ground, and if there are white ants, termites around, they'll find it because they have that perception. And you see the dogs of Vrindavan always trying to look for something. The monkeys are fighting with each other. Oh, So it all depends on the mind, what you do, what you see, how you perceive reality. So if we have the mind of bhakti, if somehow our consciousness can become illuminated by bhakti, then the whole world shifts and changes into the most wonderful place. Vishwapurna Sukhayate. It is actually the most wonderful, although we criticize the material world, and Krishna criticizes the material world as Dukalayama Shashvatama Nitya Sukhyaloka, terrible place, always changing, miserable place. But for a devotee, Vishwapurna Sukhayate, it is a wonderful place because he's living in Krishna's shelter. So it is a wonderful place. So if we can just, what a wonderful prayer to Giriraj. Today, when we turn towards Giriraj and face him, waiting for the inevitable drop of the curtain of night. Well, that's a good prayer. Please give me just a drop of bhakti so I can serve you. And through that serving mood, Ataksi Krishnamadi Labhaved Krayam Indrai Sevan Mukihi Jivadal Swayam Eva Sparat Yalo, then naturally the vision comes. And when one loves Krishna, when one has love for Krishna, then he reveals his beauty according to the depth of devotion. Krishna reveals his beauty. So the coward boys, they just wanted to be with Krishna. They just wanted to decorate Krishna, who is Bhushana Bhushanangam. He is the ornament of all ornaments. He makes the ornaments look beautiful. The ornaments don't make him look beautiful. He makes the ornaments beautiful. And Krishna is so kind that he gives us all the opportunity to decorate him, collect flowers and feathers, peacock feathers, and put on him in the form of the deity. He manifests in so many different forms so that we have the opportunity to dress. And we see this with the devotees. They think, my deities look the most beautiful. Okay, these deities are nice, but my deities. Because that it is not an illusion. It is not false ego even. It's not that, oh, because they're my deities, therefore the most beautiful, because after all, I am me. It's not because of that. It's because the deity gives the devotee the vision to see beauty. Krishna reveals beauty, his beauty to the devotees. Who decorate him, who want to make him beautiful, so Krishna reveals his beauty to the devotees. It's a wonderful thing. This is spiritual technology, very highly advanced spiritual technology. And then when one worships a deity, and Srila Jiva Goswami says that regardless of who one is and where one is and what ashram one is in, one should worship the deity because it evokes so much affection in the devotee. This means that at some point we're going to need some light. It could be that same problem that occurred yesterday, or it could be that there's no electricity. We don't know yet. Yes, it could be it needed to be elevated a little. So, all the coward boys, this is the kind of playing they would do. All the cowherd boys, this isn't working right now? Oh, okay. This is their playing. They were decorated by their mothers, but still they preferred decorations of the forest. And listen to this. All the cowherd boys used to steal one another's lunch bags. And when a boy came to understand that his bag had been taken away, the other boys would throw it further away to a more distant place, and those standing there would throw it further. This is the what's really going on, there's a description of all the different things that are going on. And it's not like the boys would, first they're going to gather some feathers, and then they're going to decorate Krishna, and then they're going to steal each other's lunch bags, and then they're going to a little bit later imitate the monkeys and climb in the trees, and then they're going to play in this way, and they're going to run to Krishna. It's not like they're doing things in an orderly way. When you're dealing with Krishna's pastimes of the boys in the forest, it's like a continuous flow of all these different things. The boys are all laughing and playing, and someone's stealing a lunch basket of someone, and someone's passing it to another person. Another person, he takes, the boys all have their flutes, and they do this to Krishna too. They take Krishna's flute and they hide it somewhere in their own, behind their back, and they stand there very innocently. And then they take out their own flutes and they say, I have an idea. Let's all play our flutes together. So he starts playing his flutes, and the boy, yeah, let's all, and they all start to, and the boy or Krishna whose flute has been stolen, he doesn't have a flute. And he thinks, where's my flute? Where's my flute? You took my flute. I did not take it. Look, I don't have any flute here. You have it behind your back. Look, and he's already passed it to someone else, who's passed it to someone else. And then what happens invariably is one of the boys starts crying, I don't have my flute. And they all, he's crying. And then when he really, and then they start hitting each other, like, give me back my flute. And the big ones lord it over the little ones. And then, but they don't, but it's all just fun. And then as soon as the boy has his flute back, or his lunch back, or his hat back, or his bugle back, that he stops crying immediately and steals someone else's lunch basket and steals someone else's flute. And it's just one continuous, I would have to say, riot of playing and playful fun. And at one moment, this one's crying, another one's crying, and these two are fighting with that one. And next thing, that one is beating the other one, and they're all laughing and playing. And Krishna's involved in this completely. And sometimes he's stealing someone's flute, and someone's stealing. And sometimes Krishna's crying and saying, if you don't stop, I'm going to tell Mother Yashoda that you're all picking on me and giving me trouble. And the boy says, oh, we don't want you to do that. Please take your flute back. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Jiva Goswami says, the boys would take each other's food, and sometimes they'd hide it, they'd hang it, they'd tie it to a tree because it would be wrapped up in a cloth. So they'd tie it to a tree, behind a tree branch. And sometimes they'd put it right in the middle of so many ants, red ants. And in Vrindavan, if you haven't noticed yet, you just put one grain of anything, anywhere, and like in 7 seconds, there's 30,000 ants there. So he puts it in the red ants, because red ants immediately, they bite, and everyone's, and he starts crying, and everyone starts laughing, and then he starts like this, and then, oh, okay, you're crying. They take it back, and they're laughing and playing, stopping crying, starting crying, running this way and that way, this team, that team, this team fighting this team, teams all changing. And it's just continuous playing and having fun, because Krishna is in the middle of it. He's the center of it all. So the proprietor would cry. Let's see where we are here. Nope, we're still not there. Yes, there we are. So then, in the middle of all this, they're all playing and running around. And remember, there's countless boys, practically speaking. So then, sometimes Krishna would just somehow just disappear from the group. He would go with one or two boys to one edge of the Vrindavan forest, because the Vrindavan forest was always coming up with newer and newer enchanting things. There's certain... Vrinda Devi is in charge of, and she has her Vana Devis, and there's so many assistants, and they meet every day to decide how they're going to make the forest so beautiful for Krishna's pastimes. These trees will blossom here because it's this season. Because in Vrindavan, especially in the summer, the hot season, what, Brishakal. Brishakal, is that what? Huh? Varsha. That's rainy season. But the Grishakal, yes, yes. So in the hot season, the most fragrant flowers come. The heat makes the fragrant flowers come. So there's bailey, chamele, some of these most amazingly fragrant flowers. So this part of the forest will have these flowers, and this part will have those flowers. So Krishna wanders away sometimes, every now and then. He wanders away to see some new cave or new this or new... Because you see the trees in the Vrindavan forest, even today, these pilu trees, they're so intricate and amazing. So there's different kinds of trees and so Krishna wanders away, and the boys are playing, and suddenly one boy notices that Krishna isn't here. So they immediately start looking everywhere. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? For these boys, like just like the gopis, practically speaking, when there's a moment where they don't see Krishna, it's intolerable. That moment appears to be like a yuga to them, thousands of years. So the gopis even criticize the blinking. The Meshena, Mahaprabhu says, the blinking of the eye is intolerable. They criticize Lord Brahma for not giving them thousands of eyes. What is the use of these two eyes? And then these two eyes, they even blink. And the coward boys feel basically the same way. So when Krishna's walking behind a tree, and they can't see him for a moment. It's intolerable for them. So when Krishna goes to see some other faraway part of the forest, they're all immediately bewildered because the center of their existence is no longer there. Krishna is not there. So they immediately, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then some boy says, there is Krishna. See him? He's by Govardhan Hill, by that cave, by that waterfall, by that blossoming tree, fragrant tree by Giriraj Govardhan. And all the boys immediately start running. Start running to Krishna. And the words of the Bhagavatam that they say, does anyone know the words? They're quite well known. Aham Purvam. Aham Purvam. I want to be first to touch Krishna. I will be first to touch Krishna. And they're running to Krishna and they're holding out their hands. Krishna, 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 why did you leave? Why did you go away from us? Krishna, and Krishna extends his arms. Oh, and then they meet together and oh, why did you go away, Krishna? We were looking for you. You weren't here. Where were you, Krishna? So this type of relationship, runthrum, the word used in here, and also Krishna wanted, this is the enjoyment of Krishna, being with this kind of devotees. In this way, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, they enjoyed their life by touching Krishna, by giving him, warmly embracing him. So then there are, from four verses, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, that describe more of their playing. All of the boys, this is Srila Prabhupada's translation, would be differently engaged. Some boys blew their flutes, and others blew bugles made of horn. And some imitated the buzzing of the bumblebees. And Krishna was most expert at that. He would bzzz, and he would sing on that exact note and make it so beautiful. And then others imitated the voices of the cuckoos, the koil birds. Kokil in Sanskrit. And Krishna was expert, especially expert at imitating the sound of the kokil bird, the quail bird. Does anyone? I know some devotees who are expert. Are there any quail birds? Wow, who? I can't even see who did that. Yes? One more, please. It's hard to... Quail bird, please. We need more. We could be in Kokilvan. Okay. It's good. Okay. But Krishna would imitate the kokil birds so sweetly that the other boys would say, oh, Krishna. Because boys, they're always, whatever they do, they're criticizing each other. They're pushing each other. They're doing this and fighting and doing this and this. But nothing is taken seriously. It's just the way they play. Krishna, why are you imitating the kokil bird in such a sweet way? Just look at the kokil bird. He's hiding now out of embarrassment in the bushes. Why are you doing these kind of things and embarrassing him in that way? And then they would imitate flying birds by running after the bird's shadows on the ground. And all this is going on more or less simultaneously. Just one activity, and some boys are doing that. It's not organized. It's organized chaos, just like Vrindavan. But it's all going on with this huge group of boys. And it's completely spontaneous. Completely spontaneous. Everything, the engine that's driving it, is the love for Krishna that these boys have in the forest. The love for Krishna that every being in Vrindavan has. And then they would imitate the swans. They would imitate them, and some sat down with the ducks sitting silently. The Chinese, they consider the duck a very special animal because it is the only animal that can live in the water, can fly in the sky, and also walk on the land. This is very special. So the boys would come and sit next to the ducks and imitate them. And then they would imitate the swans. And then they would imitate the monkeys. And they would play with the baby monkeys. And they'd jump into the tree making monkey faces and monkey voices and teasing the monkeys and jump from branch to branch and grab some fruit. And, hey, Krishna, do you want some fruit? They're in the trees imitating the monkeys. They see fruit, Krishna. This wonderful. And they pick some flowers, put in their bags to decorate Krishna later. And all this is going on. And they jump from branch to branch. They go to the waterfalls. They cross over the rivers. Giriraj has so many waterfalls and rivers that the rivers are crystal clear. Trees and caves. Then, when they would get to the frogs, they would imitate the frogs, the way the frogs jump, and the frogs would jump into the water, and the boys would laugh, and they may even jump into the water also. And you see this with the cowherd boys even today in Vrindavan. They're herding the cows by the Yamuna. The cows go in the water, they go in the water, they just play in the water with each other, they push each other around, they splash, they swim, they come out of the water, they take their cloth and dry it, put it on in 2 minutes, take the cows out, go somewhere else, play, cows go this way, cows go that way, now it's time to go home, they eat something, they're playing, they play flutes. It's just like continuous, playful activities. And when they saw their own reflections in the water, they would laugh. They would also condemn the sounds of their own echoes. So they used to do this in the caves and by the water. So these pastimes are described by the acharyas. Even Krishna, he would become bewildered again and again. The unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord, who is Sarvajna, all-knowing, he would look into the water and see his own reflection in the water, and he would say, "Who are you?" And then the rocks would echo back, "Who are you?" And Krishna would say, "Why are you asking me who I am?" And the echo would say, "Why are you asking me who I am? What village do you live in? What village do you live in?" Why are you imitating everything I'm saying? Why are you imitating everything that I'm saying? You rascal! You rascal! In this way, and Krishna would do it many, many, many times, these things. This is their playing. This is their playing. One of the, what I think it's Srila Jiva Goswami says, he says to him, Krishna says to his reflection, you come out of the water and I'll beat you. And the reflection says, I'll beat you. So they're just playing and playing and playing and playing and playing. Then they would, in this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna. And then a very famous verse comes, which speaks of this pastime. Itam satam brahmasukhana bhutya. Dasyam gatanam paradaivatvena. Maya Sritanam Naradarakena. Sakam Vijaru Krita Punja Punja. Does anyone know a nice melody to sing this verse? I didn't do very well with it. Does anyone know a very sweet? Itam satam brahmasukhanu bhutya. Dasyam gatanam paradaivatvena. Maya sritanam naradarakena. Sakam Vijaru. So this verse, Dasyam Gatanam Paradaivatvena, Maya Shritananam Naradarakena, Itam Satam Brahmasukhan. Those who are worshipping the Supreme Lord to attain the Brahman effulgence, the Jnanis do that. There's one line missing. And then, and there are others who dasyam gatanam paradaivatvena. There are others who worship the Supreme Lord paradaivatvena. This is the devotee. That's the dasyam gatanam paradaivatvena. Mayasritananam narapanga naradarakena. That the there's some. The devotees worship the impersonalists, the jnanis worship the Supreme Lord for the purpose of merging into his effulgence. And the devotees worship the Supreme Lord, the ordinary devotees, quote ordinary devotees, they're worshiping him with awe and reverence. And then, Maya Sritananam Naradarakena, those who are materialists, they just think he is an ordinary person. Different ways to relate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the consciousness of the person. Krishna is reciprocating. Yeyatam mam prapadyante. He reciprocates with our consciousness in relating with him. We can't avoid relating with him because everything is his energy. We can't avoid Krishna. So if we relate to him, oh, he's just, I want to merge. Maybe I'll do an arti, I'll do this, do that, but my desire is to merge. Krishna will give his effulgence to that person. And if one wants to worship him, oh, he is great and I am so insignificant, which is certainly true, then he'll see Krishna as the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord, Sri Bhagavan. And an ordinary materialistic person, why are you wasting so much money on these buildings when you could be make your own house like that? You're feeding him so much food when there's so many poor people and there's nothing really there. Krishna is an ordinary person. But these cowherd boys, because of their consciousness, Sakyam Vijaru Krita Punya Punja. The coward boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, and not the pious activities of just doing good and feeding the poor and doing this piety and that piety and just giving in charity for this and giving charity for that. This is a special kind of punya, acting for Krishna's pleasure. So birth after birth after birth after birth, then getting so much mercy from Krishna. That kind of punya also means splendor. Getting the illustrious splendor of Krishna's mercy, then they're able to actually associate with Krishna. They're given the consciousness that and the body that causes Krishna to, when they're running to Krishna like this, it causes Krishna to extend his arms and then so much enjoy their embrace, heart to embrace, heart to heart, because this is all they've desired, birth after birth after birth, and serving and crying and rolling in the dust of Vrindavan. Oh, Krishna, I cannot live without you. Oh, Giriraj, circumambulating Giriraj, and worshipping the deities and doing so many pious, spiritually pious activities, being kind to others by helping others get out of material consciousness, studying Shastra, and then coming to the point where their consciousness is so focused on Krishna that they feel, I cannot live another moment unless you give me your mercy, Krishna. And then Krishna doesn't give them the mercy and they're rolling on the ground. Oh, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then suddenly, boom. So these boys have gone through how many births, accumulated so much bhakti punya, unmukha punya, for so many lives. And the result of that is the intimacy of this relationship. It is extraordinary. It is the most extraordinary to be so intimate. There's such an intimate relationship with bhakta and the object of their worship, that this is, ordinary religionists can't even fathom it. They can't even begin to understand it. So therefore, we distribute Bhagavad Gita first. How can they understand that the boy steals Krishna's lunch basket and they're teasing Krishna? And he's crying, and he's crying. And Mother Yashoda raises her hand, and Krishna says, I'll come if you put down your stick. And he's rubbing his eyes, and they're turning red, even though his fingers and hands are as soft as a lotus flower. And tears are coming down his eyes out of real fear, out of Mother Yashoda. How can this be understood by the material mind? It can't. It needs the mind, the heart, the consciousness of bhakti. It needs mercy to enter deeply into this. I once went to the Vatican, and in the Vatican, there's so many paintings, awe and reverence paintings. And one of the things that really struck my mind, I've mentioned this before, was that you see these paintings and valuable carpets, and there's one saint, he's going like this, and in the corner of the painting or the carpet, there's a brilliant effulgence, which is God's effulgence, and he's in awe and reverence and fear. And in Krishna consciousness, we have the Supreme Lord going like this, and Mother Yashoda's in the corner going like this. If you're not, I'm going to punish you. How can this be understood? It takes kritta punja punja. So, in this way, the coward boys are playing with Krishna in this way. This is ununderstandable to the karmis, the gyanis, the yogis, the materialists. And for the devotees, it is the most wonderful thing. And the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Goswamis, would wander around Vrindavan in the mood of, where is Krishna? They don't care about eating. They don't care about sleeping. They don't care about possessing. They just care about, hey, Radhe, Brajadeva, Ke, Chalalite. And this is the supreme regulator of their lives. This, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Then in the next verse, so how can one explain that great fortune? That's how Prabhupada translates it. Their fortune is unexplainable. It comes from mercy. Or they're nitya siddha devotees. They're always like this. So the meditation of a devotee, a sadhaka, is how can I get a little mercy? Or even, I'm not qualified to, or Prabhupada explained, wrote in his the Vyasa Puja to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Sanatha Saraswati Thakur. So I don't expect to be able to have association for Krishna for crores and crores of births, for hundreds of thousands of births. This was his mood. But let me serve you, and let me stay in the association of devotees and serve, because in the association of devotees, I won't forget you. And this is what is fearful for me, forgetting you. Because Maya is very strong. Maya is very strong. So though in the next verse, and then the topic will change. Yogis may undergo severe austerities and penances for many births. Bahu janma krit rato. By practicing yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, none of which are easily performed. Very difficult. And they do this for many births. Yet in due course of time, when these yogis attain the perfection of controlling their mind, dhrita atma bir, they will still be unable, alabhya, they cannot gain the ability to taste even a particle of dust. Yet pada pamsur, from the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because that doesn't attract Krishna to give them his mercy that allows that lifts the curtain of Maya so that they can see the pastimes of Krishna and enter into them and serve in it. They don't want that even, and therefore they don't get it. Yayatam mam prapanyante. So then, considering how these perfected yogis, then what can be said Varnyate, about the great fortune of the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, with whom the Supreme Personality of God had personally lived, and who saw the Lord, Swayam Stita, face to face, Yadrik Vishaya. They saw him every day, constantly, and to not see him for a moment seemed like thousands of years, intolerable. And when Krishna, in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, when he remembers this mood of the Brajabasis, this is when he's just preparing to leave this world and speaking to Uddhava, he remembers this mood and he remembers the Brajagopikas, that for them, when they were with him, 1,000 years passed as quickly as a moment, and when they were separated from him, a moment seemed to drag on forever and ever, like it was 1,000 years. And remembering their mood, the depth of their love, Krishna completely melted. And it is that love that brings Krishna under control, and that love that causes this these type of activities to take place. So when Srila Sukadev Goswami is explaining this to Maharaj Prakrit, and then he begins something else, which was actually a different topic. Not a different topic, but this chapter will start reaching its conclusion now when Agasura, who came from the illustrious family of, his older siblings were Putana and Bakasura, who Krishna had just recently killed Bakasura. So he is very, very upset and he wants to seek his revenge. I didn't put all the verses here. Let me see if I can make it go back. Yes. Agasura seeks revenge. So the boys are playing. And Srila Prabhupada says in one purport that as they were playing, because they just were in ecstasy, playing, and it was getting near to be lunchtime. And they were never going to stop because they were with Krishna and the playing was causing them so much pleasure, they wouldn't stop. So therefore, Yogamaya, Krishna's Lilamaya, she decided, let us inspire Agasura to come right now. And that will at least stop their playing pastime. Because after all, Krishna had the desire. He called the boys out to have a picnic. And he wanted to have that take place. To serve the pastime of eating and having a picnic, this pastime is going to be evoked. And of course, so many other things are done at the same time. So one of Kamsa's dear servants was Agasura. And Aga means sin. So the sinful Asura, although by nature all Asuras are sinful. Younger brother of Putana and Bakasura could not tolerate the fact that the boys were having so much fun with Krishna, because enviousness was in the heart. And this is sinfulness, is envy, enviousness, envy. Because if one is envious, what does envious mean? What does envy mean? It's a step more than jealousy, but what does it mean? Okay. First you see someone who has something that you want, and then you desire harm for them. So if you see something that someone has and you want, it means you don't have that. So if one has an envious mentality, there's so much pain in his life because the only way there could be no pain is that no one has anything that you don't that you want. Now, how are you going to organize that? So anytime someone has something that you want or you think will make you happy or has more of it than you, then it's a painful situation. So Srila Narottama Das Thakur likens envy to a spear in the heart. So how can you be happy walking around with a continuous thrust of a spear in your heart? So Agasura could not tolerate the fun, the pleasure that Krishna and the cowherd boys were experiencing. So he thought, since Krishna had killed his brother and his sister, he thought, I will kill Krishna. And he formed himself with his yogic powers into a huge ajagara. Did I get it right? Ajagara, yes? Ajagara? Yes, well, of course it has a bit of a New York accent when I say it. But mixed with some Australia and 13 years living in India. But Ajgal.
Yes.
And that's UP only, though. So Ajgal Asura thought, if I can make Krishna and his friends, I will kill them and make them an offering in the memory of my brother and sister, and then they'll be happy, and then I'll be happy. And when all the residents of Vrindavan see that their sons are dead, and that Krishna, who is their life, has died, then all the residents of Vrindavan will also die. And then I will be happy. So we think, boy, what a terrible person. But just imagine if there was a loudspeaker attached to your mind. Tell me that those thoughts sometimes don't come. Only if I was the only person in the world left. I think that would be a very good plan. So we have a little asura as alive within us sometimes. Of course, not you, but. So then Agasura assumed this form, this huge python body. There was, Putana was in her form, her regular form was 8 miles long, and Agasura was that size as well. And then he opened up his mouth on one of the pathways of Vrindavan. And his teeth were huge, hanging down. And his lower jaws were huge, and the teeth were like mountains, and his eyes were burning. And he had, snakes have holes on the side of their eyes, and these were like mountain caves too. And he extended his tongue out like a road, and he extended his tongue out, thinking that if I can get the boys to walk on this road, then I can just draw my tongue in, even if they decide they want to go in the opposite direction, and in this way I will kill them all, and again I then will be happy. So he placed himself on the path, looking like a huge, huge cave. And the boys, or some ornament in Vrindavan, and the boys seeing him thought, this is a new, amazing creation of the Vrindavan forest. Because the Vrindavan forest was always full of new and fresh things to see and play in. And some of the boys said immediately that this cave looks really big. And another boy said, to me, it looks like a huge Ajgar. And the other boy looked at, you're so foolish. How can an Ajgar be so big as this? No, no, this is just something of the Vrindavan forest. Let's go and play. Let's go and play. And the boy started saying, this really got closer and closer, and the calves are following them. This really looks like a snake. Look at its mouth open wide and its teeth in such a horrible position. It looks like its position on the road just to swallow us all up. And they move closer and closer. Should we go in? And the boys, who are always in this mood of playing and adventure and doing this and doing that, and let's go, let's go. They began clapping their hands. And while they were clapping their hands, they were thinking, if it is a python, a snake, maybe he'll blink his eye, and then we'll know the actual situation and turn around and go back. But anyway, they said, and they looked to the side and they saw Krishna. Anyway, Krishna is here. What do we have to fear? He will kill him even if he is a snake, just like he killed Bakasura. And Agasura, when he heard that, yes, he is the killer of my brother. So the boys clapping and screaming and running and laughing, they entered into the mouth of Agasura. We'll have to move. Yeah. Has this living creature come to swallow us? If he does so, he'll immediately, chanad, yat chanad, be killed, vinanchiti, like Bakasura, without delay. Thus they looked at the beautiful face of Krishna. So interesting how Srila Sukadev Goswami calls Krishna by this name now, Baka Ari Usad Mukam. They looked at the face, the mukha of Baka Ari, the enemy and killer of Bakasura. And in a laughing way, loudly clapping their hands, they entered the mouth of the python. Now, Krishna was right there. Something wonderful is happening. Krishna is in everyone's heart. 24. Krishna is everyone's heart. Akila Bhuta Ritstita. He's situated in every single living entity's heart. Yours, mine, every one of us. And also in the heart of Agasura, the coward boys. He knew exactly what was going on. He heard the boys talking amongst themselves about the artificial python. Unknown to them, it was actually Agasura, a demon, Rakshas, who had appeared as a python. And Krishna, knowing this, because he's in everyone's heart, he wanted to forbid his associates to enter the demon's mouth. In the meantime, this is the next verse, while Krishna was considering how to stop them, all the boys entered Pravishta, the mouth of the demon. The demon, however, did not swallow them. Why? Because the demon was thinking, he was remembering his own relatives who had been killed by Krishna. And he was keeping his mouth open, just waiting for Krishna to enter his mouth. Krishna, again, is Bhakari, Vaishnam, to enter. Now, please, listen and understand this amazing situation. Krishna was thinking how to stop them from entering the mouth of this demon. Why? The boys wanted to enter into the mouth. They saw Krishna right there. They did not fear. It may be a python, it may be a cave, but in any case, Krishna is here and he will save us. But Krishna could not want them to enter the mouth. He wanted to forbid them, stop them from entering the mouth of the serpent. And he has his Satya Sankalpa potencies. that fulfill all his desires. And yet the boys had walked into the mouth. The all-powerful, all-knowing, Antayami, Supreme Lord, did not stop them, could not stop them. This is very mysterious. And from the mysterious occurrences in Vrindavan become born wonderful things, wonderful thoughts, wonderful realizations, a wonderful understanding of how Vrindavan works and how Krishna works. Krishna, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he did not want them to enter. But the boys had an opposite idea. They wanted to enter because they wanted to play and they wanted to have the ecstatic experience, if it was a python, of being saved again by Krishna. Because when one is saved by Krishna, one's heart opens up completely and one wants to just embrace Krishna for the cowherd boys. Oh, Krishna, you saved us again. You saved me again. Oh, Krishna, you are everything to me. You are everything to me. But yet, they wanted to be saved by Krishna. But how could Krishna want them to enter into this dangerous situation? He could not want them to enter in the situation. He could not, because he loves them. So there was a disagreement between the desires of the unlimitedly powerful Supreme Lord and his devotees, the cowherd boys. And Yogamaya, who organizes the different leelas, the pastimes in Vrindavan, is subservient and takes the side of the devotees. Because it is not even Krishna that rules Vrindavan. It is not Yogamaya that rules Vrindavan. It is the love of the residents of Vrindavan that controls everything in Vrindavan. It makes Krishna dance for half a sweetmeat. It overrules his desire. Namitta karan bhavya savya sachin. I want you, Arjuna, to be an instrument in my desire to annihilate everyone on this battlefield. But in Vrindavan, it doesn't work in that way. Yogamaya makes Krishna an instrument of the pleasure of the devotees. So, Krishna saw that all the cowherd boys who did not know anyone but him as their Lord, they did not have their mind on anyone, anything but him, any place but him. Krishna saw this, that they had now gone out of his hand and were helpless, having entered like straws into the fire of the abdomen of Agasura, who was death personified. It was intolerable for Krishna to be separated from his friends, the cowherd boys. The devotees love Krishna, and it is intolerable for them to be separate from Krishna, and Krishna loves the devotees, and it is intolerable for Krishna to endure the separation of his devotees. So he saw this, and he felt pain. Of course, It is not the pain of that experienced by the modes of ignorance and passion of this world. It is on an ecstatic level. But he understood that this has been arranged by my internal potency. And this struck him with wonder. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, how is it that my own internal potency has acted in this way and overruled my desire for my devotee's desire? So for a moment, he was just amazed at the way that his internal potency works. He is amazed at the way that Vrindavan works. He is amazed at the ever-fresh, ever-new, always changing, and even surprising and astonishing for Krishna. He is amazed at the way Vrindavan works. Just think how boring it would be to be the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead if nothing surprised him or amazed him. If he knew everything, it would be like going through life as the Supreme Lord, watching every movie for the third time or something like that. No surprises, nothing new, so boring. But look how Vrindavanism are organized. There are always new surprises for Krishna, and he is astonished by them. And therefore, Vrindavanam Pratyaja Padam Ekam Nagashati. The love of the residents of Vrindavan make everything work in Vrindavan, bringing Krishna the greatest pleasure, newer and newer. So, in the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, my Leela Shakti has made this seemingly unfavorable arrangement with a desire to put me, who is filled with prema, in a compassionate mood, karunaras. Krishna wants to enjoy karunaras. And on seeing this unfortunate situation, this is astonishing for me, how she controls me, the very form of all rasa, and the king of all leelas. Krishna was feeling so sad. But when this astonishment, because he saw the coward boys enter the mouth, he was feeling so unhappy in his transcendental, ecstatic way. But when he felt astonished, his feeling of sadness was reduced. Then he thought, how can I save them? When I killed Aristasura, I threw Aristasura so far. And when I killed Keshi, I threw Keshi so far before I killed him. But if I throw Agasura so far, my boys, my friends, they're in his belly right now. They'll be injured. So he began to think of what to do. What to do? So we will hear what he did in such a wonderful way. But now we shall... Please turn to Giriraj and marvel at the wonderful Giriraj that we have so fortunately been brought into the association of. Giriraj is so welcoming and so soothing. And everyone loves Giriraj Baba. But please chant with some prayer to move forward in Krishna consciousness, to serve with a cleaner heart, to chant with more fullness of heart. Please bring something of your relationship to Krishna, to Vrindavan, to your beloved deities, and to beloved Giriraj into your chanting.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Ram Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Everyone chant
Hare Krishna.
Hands in the air, chant to Giriraj Govardhan.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Jaya Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Giri Govardhan,
Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki, Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki, Bolo Giriraj Dharan ki, Jai Jai Sri Rale. Krishna was deciding how to kill this Agasura and save his friends. He himself entered the mouth of Agasura. And when he entered the mouth of Agasura, Agasura closed his mouth with Krishna inside. The demigods in the higher planets began crying, alas, alas, alas. And the demons, including Kamsa, who immediately heard of what had happened, began to celebrate. Krishna, though, in the mouth of Agasura, began to expand himself. The boys by this time had died. And Krishna expanded himself and expanded himself until the demon Agasura could no longer breathe. And Agasura expanded himself so he could breathe. And Krishna expanded himself still further, because such expansion would not disturb the devotees who could not see what he was doing. And finally, the demon, not being able to breathe, died. And when we say died, we mean that his soul, purified by Krishna's association, popped out of his Brahmarandram at the top of his head. In other words, the soul left the body and waited in the sky, brilliant. Usually one cannot see the soul, but by Krishna's arrangement, everyone could see the soul there. And then Krishna glanced at the boys with his nectarian glance. The boys came back to life, knowing that Krishna had saved them. And then Krishna and the boys walked out of the mouth of Agasura. The soul of Agasura, before the vision of the devatas who were watching this, entered into the body of Krishna. Everyone became pleased. This is the next verse. And the demigods began to shower flowers. And there's a very interesting purport by Srila Prabhupada. The demigods began to shower flowers from the Nandakanana gardens. The celestial dancing girls began to dance. And the Gandharvas, who were famous for singing, offered songs of prayers. Who remembers one of the things I just read? Yes, say it loudly. The demigods showered flowers. The Gandharvas sang. And the apsaras danced. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums. And the Brahmins offered their Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heavens and on earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. Please listen to what Srila Prabhupada does with this happy scene, jubilant scene, in his purport. He says, everyone has some particular duty. The Shastra has concluded that everyone should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his own qualification. If you are a singer, always glorify the Supreme Lord by singing very nicely. If you are a musician, glorify the Supreme Lord by playing musical instruments. Svanustitasya dharmasya samsadir haritoshanam. The perfection of life is to satisfy the personality of Godhead. The perfection of life is to satisfy the personality of Godhead. Therefore, beginning from this earth up to the celestial heavenly kingdom, everyone engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord Everyone should be engaged in glorifying the Supreme Lord. And then a little later in the purport, Prabhupada says, this is the perfection of life. One should be trained how to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's respective qualities. Education, austerity, penance, or in the modern world, business, industry, education, and so on, all should be engaged in glorifying the Lord. Then everyone in the world will be happy. This was Prabhupada's message so much. He wanted the world to be happy. One time, or the first time I actually was in a room with Srila Prabhupada, it was at 26 Second Avenue, not in the very, very early days, but when he came back to New York after having been ill, gone to India, then getting his green card in Montreal, and then he came to New York, and I saw him at 26 Second Avenue in his room. And there were quite a few devotees in the room, and then it was time to leave. And I stayed in the back because I wanted to say something to Prabhupada personally. So all the devotees walked out, and then when I was near the door, I turned to Prabhupada and said to Prabhupada, how can I serve you? And he replied, take this Krishna consciousness and be happy. So, as with many other services, I haven't mastered this one yet, but I'm passing it on to you. This was Prabhupada's desire. Take this Krishna consciousness and be happy. Glorify Krishna with whoever you, whatever you are, whatever you can do, use it in Krishna's service. But do it for the pleasure of Krishna and Krishna's servants. But the pastime, in one sense, we could end here. But there is something else I wanted to say. So I will just continue to the end of the chapter and continue even a little bit further. Please, I know you have been sitting a long time, but please listen. And I will go through it quite quickly and make it as brief as I practically can. So Sukadeva Goswami gives a little purport on this pastime and said, he showed such great mercy. He's unlimited. He can show great mercy. And he gave this Agasura Swarupya Mukti, even though he was Aga, he was so sinful. And it's impossible for a contaminated person to attain this. But by association with Krishna, by the grace of Krishna, this was easy for Krishna to do. It is easy. There is one part of the one verse in the third chapter of the 12th canto where Suta Goswami is speaking at this time, just ending the Bhagavatam. He says that Atma Bhavam, I can't remember the actual verse, Yato Yasi Param Gatim, that if one remembers Krishna at the time of death, even one time, at that one time, one will become purified, Mriyananam, one will become purified at the time of death and attain Atma Bhavam, who you actually are. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in his commentary, you will attain your actual Siddha Deha, Siddha Sarup, who you are eternally. So in his purport, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, well, this is just for remembering Krishna one time, you're going to get the supreme result. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, after raising that question, answers yes, because Krishna is so magnanimous, so generous. So this is who we're dealing with, a person, a supreme person, a person who is so magnanimous that when Agasura tried to kill him and all of his dearest friends, he gave him Sarupya Mukti, a form just like his own in the spiritual world. So that was Sukadeva Goswami's comment on this. And then Suta Goswami, who is narrating this to the sages of Namasharanya, he speaks, he can't control himself practically, and says, these childhood pastimes of Krishna are so wonderful. And Maharaj Parikshit, who Krishna himself had saved from death while in the womb, he asked a question. And the question he asked was, because he also explained that the coward boys, they didn't explain this pastime, Sukadeva said this, what had happened until 1 year later. So Maharaj Parikshit, who was listening very carefully, he said, why would they explain something that happened a year before as if it had just happened today? I'm very curious to know about this. It must be something. It must have some intimate connection with Krishna, with something wonderful Krishna has done. Although, he says, I am so low. We are the lowest of Kshatriyas. Still, we are so benefited, and even we become glorified because we have the opportunity to hear continuously from you the nectar of the pious, most wonderful, spiritual, amazing, pious activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Despite my disqualification, I have this one fortune, and that is I'm hearing about Krishna. And when Sukadeva heard this question by this attentive hearer, Maharaj Parikshit, who had been protected by Krishna but yet now was going to die within a day or two at most, and he was just absorbed in hearing, Sukadeva immediately remembered Krishna deeply within the core of his heart. And he went into an ecstatic trance, losing contact with the external activities of his senses. And therefore, thereafter, with great difficulty, he pulled himself out of that trance because Maharaj Parikshit was going to die in 2 days. So he couldn't remain in depth of ecstasy because he wanted to speak, pour the nectar of Krishna Katha into his ear. So with great difficulty, he revived his external consciousness and he began to speak to Maharaj Parikshit about Krishna, Krishna Katha. Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they both say the same thing, but a little bit differently. Is that Sukadeva, while speaking about Krishna and hearing and dealing with this incredibly incredible devotee, Maharaj Parikshit, who had such a taste for hearing Krishna Katha, he would often go into ecstatic trances. So Srila Jiva Goswami says that it is well known that Maharaj Parikshit had his son, Janmanejaya, with him, with kartals and madungas. So anytime Sukadeva would go into trance, they would start kirtan and bring him out. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that they immediately started chanting Krishna's names. Immediately. And Sukadev begins to speak, and I will just read a few verses. What does he do? He glorifies Maharaj Prickett. You are the best of devotees. You are so fortunate because you have asked such questions that elicit Krishna Katha. And although you are constantly hearing the pastimes of the Lord, you perceive his activities as newer and newer and newer, ever fresh. And therefore you are Bhagavata Uttama. You are the greatest of devotees. And even though you may have heard these pastimes before, they appear in your heart as ever fresh. He continues, Paramhamsa devotees who have accepted the essence of life, what this world is actually meant for, what can actually be obtained in this world, they are attached to Krishna deeply in the core of their hearts, like Maharaj Prickett was. He would give up his life, but he wouldn't give up Krishna. And they knew, Paramhamsas, that he is the aim of life. It is their nature to talk about Krishna at every moment. As these topics appear to them as newer and newer, they are attached to such topics. Just like materialists, they're attached to their materialistic topics of sense enjoyment. Therefore, O King, hear the answer to your question with great attention. Although the activities of the Supreme Lord, especially his Vrindavan activities, are very secret, very confidential, guyam, guravo guyam, no ordinary person can understand them. But I shall speak about them to you. For spiritual masters explain to a submissive disciple even subject matters that are very confidential and difficult to understand. Please listen. The question was, why was it that the boys didn't speak about this activity for 1 year, and when they spoke about it as if it had just happened? And he begins his reply. Thus, after saving the boys and calves from the mouth of Agasura, who was death personified, Krishna, the personality of Godhead, the supreme personality of Godhead, brought them all to the bank of the Jamuna. And he spoke the following words. My dear friends, just see how this riverbank is extremely beautiful because of its pleasing atmosphere. And just see how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their fragrance. The humming and chirping of the bees and birds is echoing throughout this beautiful forest. The sands of the Jamuna are clean. They are soft. This is the best place for our sporting, for our pastimes, and our picnic. I think we should take our lunch here, since we are already hungry because the time is late. Here the calves may drink the water and go slowly here and there to drink the grass, to eat the grass. And while he was saying this, Brahma was watching. And the next Leela was going to unfold. And then Brahma steals the boys and calves and returns the boys and calves after Krishna expands himself. Then he offers his prayers. And then after he offers his prayers, then Krishna ages a little bit and enters the Buganda age. And then he takes the boys to the Vrindavan forest, the cows to the Vrindavan forest for the first time for all day. And the boys and cows play in the forest. And then the Dhanukasura is killed. And then they go home and the young gopis look at Krishna for the first time and their poor virag expands. And then Mother Yashoda and Rohini put Krishna to sleep. And then the next day the boys go out on the to the Kaliya pastimes begin, and after the Kaliya pastime, it just goes on and on and on and on and on, nitya, forever. It is an ocean that we should jump into. And when we jump into this ocean of hearing and chanting and serving Krishna and purifying our hearts in this way and calling out to Krishna and asking him, begging him for some mercy, just a drop, just a little bit, then we will one day be with Krishna. Mahaprabhu, or Lord Brahma, said, he said, Stene stita shutagatam tanovan manobhya ye praso jito jito pyasitas tilokya. Just hear about Krishna. Just hear about Krishna and chant his names. Serve Mahaprabhu's movement, spreading Krishna consciousness. Become absorbed. Know, make it conscious who you're serving, why you're serving Prabhupada, what a gift it is, what our fortune is, and don't leave this ocean of Krishna consciousness, but dive deeply and more deeply into it. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I have heard that Sachinanda Maharaj went like this. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Srila Prabhupada Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay. Sri Giriraj Govardhan ki jay. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jay. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Vansa kalpaturbhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaisnavebhyo namo namah. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak Krishna Katha in your association.